March 3rd, 2021, it's the Watch for Pedro Show.
I've got a beer-drinking baby. Well, she drinks both night and day. I've got a beer-drinking baby. Well, she drinks both night and day. Well, she's never satisfied till she uses all my things. She drinks beer in the morning, beer in the night. Come home raising sand, all she wants to do is fight. She is my beer-drinking baby. Well, she drinks beer all the time. She drinks beer so often, I'm afraid I'll go stone blind. Down 7th Avenue, drinking that wine and beer till she don't know what to do. She is my beer-drinking baby. Well, she drinks beer all the time. Well, she drinks beer so often, I'm afraid I'll lose my mind.
Hot for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Rain, it's the third day of rain this year in SoCal, so kind of need it. And start off the show, John Coltrane. Now, this is maybe the first recording he did playing tenor. It's when he was with Billy Valentine doing a tune called Beer Drinking Baby, 1949. You know, he started on the alto, and Clean Head Vincent, I think, got him to switch that tenor. After that was Taboo, For Your Eyes Only. And I got two of the, well, I don't know, we're going to learn about the history of Taboo, but some of the members are right here. Chris and Vaughn, welcome aboard.
Hey.
And, yeah, people, I'm not man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with the Righteous Skype invention. Where are you guys talking to me from?
We're in Maine right now. Yeah, my ears perked up when you were talking about rain in California because we're in icy Maine, and it's bright and sunny out, so we're kind of reversed right now.
Are you in the big town?
No, we're in the no town. We're actually in a town called Troy, which it's, I feel like, I don't want to say its only claim to fame, but probably its most prominent was being featured in Stephen King's Tommyknockers.
Oh, like kind of monsters or spirits or some shit.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's all there.
I think Tommyknockers, is it Alien?
I think it's Alien.
Yeah, I think
it's Aliens. Okay.
It's an alien crash, and the way they describe it, you're like, oh, that's basically behind our house.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And well, he's a New England guy, right?
Yeah, he's a Maine. He's a Maine guy, yeah.
They call him Mainers, right?
They do.
One time, I'll tell you about, I did play the big town a lot of times, and one time was in August, maybe 30 years ago. It was 100 degrees. It's very rare. It was club.
Yeah.
It started with a Z, Zydeco or something. I can't remember its name. God, that's the thing about Alzheimer's. You're always playing new pads and meeting new people, learning new songs.
Yeah, keep it fresh.
Okay, Chris Barr, who wants to go first? Because I want to talk about you guys' journey through music, how you got to where you are now music-wise.
You can start.
Okay.
Okay, Chris, your earliest musical recollection, please.
Oh, my God. Well, the thing about it is I grew up in kind of a crazy household, and it was kind of like a diabolical Catholic scene, you know, kind of very devilish and very Italian Catholic scenario. And my different people in the house listened to different music, and music was on all the time. It was my grandmother was into the 40s type stuff, but she would talk about specific songs, but played this now still famous. I know I just found out recently some people have tattoos of it on their body. It's called like the Boston Memories station, right? It was like WJIB. You can still listen to WJIB on the web. It's kind of a cult,
the JIB,
a cult following. But then my mom and my uncle were heavily, like they stopped, we were just talking to my mom about this the other day. She just stopped listening to music like in 1969, like current music in 1969. And it was all doo-wop, all like we had like a jukebox in the house, all 45s and oldies, just playing all the time. And it's still like that in their house now. And like a player piano with piano rolls of like, Mac the Knife or like, you know, and then my uncle who we all lived with, it was like a three family house. It was like grandfather, grandmother, two uncles, like a aunt and a couple dogs and mom and dad. And, my uncle was paranoid schizophrenic, like homicidal, suicidal, like heavily medicated and was like a kind of a sadhu, kind of like a holy man. And would just wear all black and have all these like chains on and all these like saint medals and just have long fingernails and toenails and just laid on the porch all day, all night, chain smoking and just playing records. And I have his whole record collection now, but tons of, you know, Rolling Stones and all that stuff. And that's always been an obsession. But he even had, you know, this is like the early 80s. He even had some Sonic Youth records and some kind of goth industrial records. And he would go to record shops a lot and kind of just like, I think he'd pull in anything he saw a woman on the cover. That's, I think, Kim Gordon, you know, I think that's how he ended up with that. But, like you have that Dwarves record with like the bloody nudity on the cover.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, I think just for that. But that, I think that's how we got into Sleep Chamber and the Smashing Pumpkins and Boss Hog. Yeah, totally.
But
it was just for the female quality. But he had all the old, you know, rock and roll records and just was spinning those incessantly. And I was just always listening to rock and roll.
Yeah, you got a buttload of fucking music memory. Now, you mentioned player piano. Was there any other instruments in the pad?
There was some. You know, my mom used to play drums, used to play guitar and violin. And
no, I didn't know that.
But, like, not back when she was a teenager. So there's some old junky instruments around, but the player piano is like the main instrument around. So no one knew how to play it. We just played the rolls.
The rolls in there. This was like an early version of a sequencer.
Yeah, totally.
They had these papers, big scrolls with holes in them, and that's how it told what keys to hit. Some of them had whole bands, right? They had drum sets in them and shit.
Yeah, totally. There's a museum nearby us called the Bryant Stove Museum.
Yeah.
We bought a wood stove from there years ago, but they have a museum of all that stuff, Nickelodeons and player pianos. And
yeah. Now, can I ask you about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, not at all. I was like, didn't like other kids, and I didn't want to be in school.
Well, I just asked because
I didn't participate, you know.
Some schools
I hung
got
out
rid
with adults who played poker all the time, you know.
Well, some schools got rid of their arts and music program. That's why I asked that. That's why started as Silver Lake Conservatory of Music, because when he went back to where he learned trumpet, they had gotten rid of the program. So that's why I just, you know. Okay, let me ask you this. The first album you bought with your own money.
It's hard to say for that reason, because my uncle would just come down and start giving me some of the records he thought I liked.
I asked that because you ain't got a lot of money when you're a kid, so like you spend it.
And, I think it was probably
remember, it's a Juan from Pedro show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
No, I think it was probably punk records. I like, you know, because I had all the rock records that were his and all the certain other curiosities and kind of was getting starting to hear like indie records and stuff. He had some of that and I kind of became aware of little scraps, but then I started to see, you know, like punk people on the street and it was participatory, you know, like I was like, oh, well, I should start looking into that because it's something I can actually go to the show. And
what town was this?
In Boston.
Oh, okay. They had a scene real early. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was in bands when I was like
Scruffy
15.
The Cat and DMZ, and then later with Hardcore Jerry's Kid and Gangrene, and played with Gangrene, one of their first things. There was a club there called The Channel. It burned down later on. There was The Rat and stuff like this. But,
yeah, I grew up with The Rat, totally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the guy at the door with the voice like this.
Totally.
Yeah. Had these lights, too, that were like for a theater, but it was like about 5 foot off your head. So just, especially the drummer man. Drummer man would get fucking melted because they couldn't move Georgie. Oh, my God. So, okay, after school. I mean, you know, while you're still going to school, like grade school or junior high shit, and there's the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band. Did you do shit like that?
Yeah, I played in a band starting at like 15 at my parents' house. It was like kind of a like crusty punk band, and we were called Six Emperor Tyrannus, and then named after like the John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, John Wilkes Booth said that as he shot Mr. Lincoln.
Yeah, exactly. He jumped off the balcony.
But his heel got caught in a curtain, right? So he breaks his fucking leg.
Totally, yeah, it was kind of like a
whoopsie. Yeah. So what machine did you jump on?
I was the singer.
The voice. Okay.
Yeah, that was my role for a long time with music. I started, you know, that band, and we kept kind of changing our approach a little bit, but then. Then I wasn't in bands for a really long time, but was like always interested in sound and making a lot of tapes and field recordings, but kind of just became a kind of like a vagabond, like art terrorist, you know, like getting back into instruments later on kind of saved my ass, you know.
Okay. I want to play something from Taboo. You haven't told me how that got together, but something called Silver Strands.
Thank you. Love me until I can't see. Can I remember the way you felt? Or can you? Please remember me. Please remember me. Please remember me.
Twenty-first century. This is where we were now. This is where we are. Fight for the peace. Fight for your love. Let's just stay around and rip it out.
Feel me, feel my love. Feel me, feel me.
Live from Pedro Show. That chunk of music, we started off with Silver Strands from Taboo, which, by the way, listeners, that's a late model Taboo. The chronology's kind of fucked up because Watt had to fit things in time-wise, and these cats, Taboo, likes to really, you know, work it out. The 28, I couldn't put the 28-minute baby here or whatever. Yeah. But it's beautiful. Silver Strands. And then Ignore That Door. Richard Hell found the master tapes to his second album and remixed it and put it out and sent it to me. And that's Ignore That Door. Great tune. Barry Berko Band after that. He's got this big old fucking symphony. I think this is the fifth, sixth part. And it's Creedy Carawala. Can't remember the name of the big piece. But he did this whole fucking thing on a leash, right? iPhone, right? They come with GarageBand and Virtual Instruments. So I want to hear anybody making excuses about not being able to record some pieces, okay? Joe Cardamore after that. Cardamone, sorry, Joe. He's got a, it's called Quarantina, huh? It's about the situation. This is part two. He's got the same, you know, what do you call it when it, the lemons come raining, right? You turn into lemonade makers, right? So that's what these cats are doing. A Wrong Horse after that from the Hellbians, brand new out of England. Obama's Prendon. This is a band for 40 years, made about 10,000 songs, did 5 gigs. And they're still going through the archives. A Skullduggery Made. Model Home after that. They're current right now. Great band. DC area. Show Me Soul. Hans Rotten out of Switzerland with Impro Bass. I'm kind of partial. Andy Kerr, he was on last episode. For a long time, we didn't know his name, right? He was he who could not be named, and he's helping out the No Means No's guys. But Punctured, and finally, Saluki Salute, Taboo. So, Bon, now your turn. Your earliest musical recollection, please.
Well, the first, my father was really religious, and so we weren't really allowed to listen to secular music, right? And my friend, who was so cool, she was this, like, punk girl who, there was nobody punk. I grew up in New Jersey. There was nobody really punk in my high school that I knew of. And she gave me a Sinead O'Connor tape. It was actually before high school. And I listened to it on a Walkman in my bed, and I felt like I was like, it was so deeply sinful, you know, and I really loved it. I like was like, oh, this is amazing. And then my father left this world, and I was able to really, like, expand into music. But, you know, I didn't really know where to find underground music or anything like that. So I was really just listening to, like, I would watch 120 Minutes on MTV and just write down the band names that I thought were cool and then go to the tape store in my town, and they would order it for me. And that was really fun. I would just buy, like, lots of weird random tapes, and then you know, I just would go to like hardcore shows because it was New Jersey and that's what there was to do, and that was really fun. I just loved the energy. I loved like getting beaten up like in the pit and everything, you know. And then
can I ask you music wise when you were like a kid, did you sing in church?
I would always make up songs like in bed when I would go to sleep, and just
so you
always
did have a music thing, even though no secular yet. But you still had some kind of music like hankering or
I always loved it. I would love to dance and just, I mean, music has always really been important, but you know, it was just limited earlier, and then it was limited for a long time. And then when I was in college, I was in these cool girls asked me to be in their band called, and we called it Jenny. And one of the girls took me to go see U.S. Maple in Philly. And that really, like, changed things for me a lot. Because, you know, I'd been watching a lot of, very mainstream or kind of, no bands that were really that gritty, like, to that point. Because it was all polished for MTV, you know.
Yeah.
And,
you're talking that, Philly, so you're talking the Delaware River. Were you by Trenton? There used to be a club there, right? City Gardens. I used to play.
Oh yeah, there was City Gardens. Yeah, but I grew up in northern New Jersey, or kind of like outside of the city. But then I went to school in Philly. So.
But didn't you skip a whole pretty important musical chapter in your life?
What?
like the New York club scene?
Yeah, I mean, that taught me about rhythm. When I was 15, I would just go to, there was something called NASA happening at this place called The Shelter. And you just go there on Friday night, and it was just like, just insane beats. It was, you know, because I play drums on Taboo mostly, and the first instrument I played was bass. I've just always been interested in.
Were you on bass in Jenny?
Yeah.
And what was your first bass? You know, I'm a little partial to this instrument. What was your first bass?
You know, I don't know. I just bought something like it was cheap and small.
Had four strings, four big strings.
Four big strings. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And your first amp. Just something loud.
It was tiny. It was just like a little practice amp, like a 112. You know. Nothing amazing.
Oh no, because you're almost miming it, right? Especially when the drums kick in.
So, well, that's why she had to switch to drums.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right, right. Well, the kick drum is kind of a bass. What about the first Jenny gig? What was that like?
I was so nervous.
I know what you mean. And Chris, I didn't ask you about your, what was that band?
Six Emperor Tyrannus.
I got to ask you about that gig when we get to you back. But tell me about this first Jenny gig. Was there a pants shitter?
Was that?
In Pedro, we call them pants shitters. If you're scared,
Definitely. It was just like
shit in a pecan log, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was in some kind of, like, rec room. It wasn't at this college that I went to. It was at a different one, and there was strangers there, and the drummer, she kept on kind of going off in different directions, which was making it hard to keep that bass going, you know. She would speed up and slow down, and, you know, it was just amazing. But it was so fun, and after that I was like, oh, that's just what I want to do.
You were hooked, right? The bug bit you. Now, mm-hmm. Were you guys doing your own material, or was it covers?
No, we did our own material.
That's bitching. Me and D Boom were younger. You didn't do that. You copied fucking records like idiots. Yeah, and you tried to be like, you know, it was like building models. You wouldn't even do your own fucking version. It was ridiculous. Yeah, people still talk about the 70s. I said, man, get me a shovel, motherfucker. So, Bon, how you meet Chris?
It was after school, and we were both living in Philly, and my band. I was in a band called Canopy then, and we were playing, and Chris's band was playing that same show randomly, and we just met up and kind of.
Well, can I?
Yeah.
Tell the story a little bit. I was in a group called Mating Dance that kind of ended up absorbing Bonnie, and that's how we started playing together. But we were like quote unquote living in Philly. We were really just living on a 40-foot bus that we were kind of like drifting around on, like doing migrant work and like sort of going on tour, but sort of just like crash landing in cities and then eventually playing a show. And so we were playing this show in Philly in a basement, and my bandmate came up, and there was a really loud, noisy band in the like downstairs, and I was like kind of headed down there, and they rushed up and they were like, you gotta come downstairs and see this band right now. And I went down, and it was Bon playing drums and our friend Jake playing guitar, just totally thrashing it out. Just complete improvised, just onslaught, but with all of these kind of textures coming through. And, you know, I kind of got in just in time to see Bon just collapse into the drums and all the drums fall over and her hands were all bloody and she was just like screaming. In the collapsed drum set, but Jake's like still playing. And then that was kind of the end of the set. And I was like, it was kind of like instantly like love at first sight. I was like, okay, this is her, you know? And then and then I was going over being real complimentary and she just kind of ignored me and just split and went home. And then she didn't see our band play that night, I don't think.
But you know what? First encounters only happen once, I hear.
So, yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour. But it's beautiful, because look what happened. March 3, 2021, edition of Watt Peter Show, special guest, Chris and Bon. Bon and Chris, formerly of Taboo. Hold tight for hour two. March 3, 2021, second hour of the Watt Peter Show.
the sons of the Red Dockers and the Kansas City Poker Chip.
get the bat.
The fucking bat in my hand. No, no.
We're approaching the end.
A mustache, a ruffled curtain, a purse in which a perfume bottle was suddenly crushed. A hand was bloody when fishing for polish that spilled then congealed to a sticky red tag. The lips of a rabid dog. Pulled into wrinkles, the sweat-soaked trousers of a toiler who stripped for bed and suddenly fled, was caught by his first 2 hours and thrashed naked at night. Twilight, yearning for twilight, twilight, yearning for twilight. Twilight, yearning for twilight, yearning for twilight, yearning for twilight, yearning for twilight. Heaps of sodden rope, molded decaying cotton, wadded and stacked. Old menstrual towels, meaningful hair, left as a keepsake, stay for a plea to some power. All power is power, all power is power, all power is power, all power is power. Snowdrifts of coarse salt, caustic hill dandruff, scavengers, ulcers, life-leaving teeth, salt, tannite and brain gut, tannic brown tide pool, carry on cloaked to mask your aroma. In one hand, the hacksaw, in another, the hatchet, another. Another some scissors, another some pruners, another a hammer, another some pliers, and also some pins. And of course there are 3 palms, each bearing 3 things to offer to those who are born with only left hand. Who do we please? Who do we pray to? And whose teeth do we? Bitter conscience, whose wet weather do we collect and feed it to whom? Whose thirst shall we quench? On whose behalf do we call? On whose altar we must heap all our finest, our firstborn, our fleeces, garlands of eardrums, fused for alike. Bracelets of eye sockets, well polished, beaded tooth mail shirts, armor of spirits, ultimate opposite, opposite, ultimate, ultimate, opposite, opposite, ultimate. Gold shadow, gray ripple, from rotation central to every portal. Backlash of bile, deep humoric slippage, landslide of luck, the bellows burst in the backdrop, talons raised above the coast, a threshold for pelter, marked by the martyr, the magi, the roar of howling hunting. Anointed forehead, fingerprints, labyrinth, map deeply borrowed, forgery, alleyways, back passages, bird's eye diving, bird's eye diving. Yeah.
meet there in the crosshair, electric, gelatinous plenum. Harvested by whom? Phantom, the craftsman that makes the lycanthrope tick, and what does that bug equal? What picture can be painted with such energy? What icon can be painted with such energy? What landscape can be painted with such energy? And what can be done with all that we shattered? What can be done with all the glass shards? What can be done with all that we shattered? What can be done with all the glass shards? Will this Sunday we coat the earth and crust the ocean's edge? Strands on which giant children dance, strands on which giant children prance, strands on which giant children play. And for fun, eviscerate and more trophies gleaned from thee. Carry on, they find there. Discarded by the greedy and gluttonous sea that has already sucked the souls from the carcass.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Mate and Dance from a live version of Discipline. Discipline. Discipline Conquers Hesitation. Yeah, it was a Red Crayola song, I think. Discipline Conquers Hesitation. Oh, yeah, Ben Salter after that. He's from Tasmania. Well, that's where he's living now. Fantastic. He's playing finally Enchanted. Finally. There's three songs. Why? Yeah, with collect carcassi. That's a trippy word. Taboo. No, from Enchanted, not Taboo. So you got to tell, enlighten both me and the listeners with Mate and Dance and Enchanted, because this is on the road to Taboo, right?
Yeah, Mate and Dance is kind of the, pre-Taboo was, there was changing roster all the time. There's kind of like a core crew of us, myself, Stefan Christoph, Anna Perna, and Suzanne Stone. And then other people would come and go all the time because we were completely nomadic. We just lived on buses and in vans and cars and just brought everything everywhere with us. We didn't have any place to live. And then would just crash land in places. And that kind of all blew apart, like in Philly. You know, we just kind of we're trying to make things as extreme as possible and kind of live as feral as we possibly could and push the envelope and kind of change reality. Like we would often just not even tell people, we would tell people our names were different names in different towns and lots of like misinformation, you know, all the time. There was like, kind of like, trying to have like posthumous, like infamy while you're still alive, you know, but like, but then by the time we got to Philly, it all imploded. We just kind of pushed it too hard and then it all fell, it all just blew up. And then we absorbed Bond at that point. And then, there was everything kind of came apart again. And Bond and I were doing a group called Asbestos on Ice with, another fellow, Timothy Fife. And then that was more like heavy, heavy tape manipulation. That Mating Dance is doing a lot too, just kind of trying to split reality, get just really deep into these imaginal spaces. And we're pulling apart lots of kind of being like terroristic to spaces we didn't have it and try to get as much of a reaction sort of from like pissing the spirits off that live there and then having a bunch of chaos ensue and kind of dancing around in it. But, and that included some of the tape manipulation stuff, just like vortexes of mangled tapes. And then that kind of continued into Asbestos on Ice as like people were finding different, this is our transition into like trying to live in a house finally. And then, once we could solidify a place to live and have equipment, Taboo kind of just happened with Stefan from Mating Dance. And that was, we were a trio for a long time. And eventually we got another guitar player, Asa Irons. And so there's different eras of Taboo. It was like, it went on for maybe how long, 12, 13 years. Mm-hmm. So there's and different.
Where does Enchanted fit? Is Enchanted between Mating Dance and Taboo?
Enchanted was when Asa would go on tour by himself and then we'd have to like have side projects. So Enchanted would happen. It'd be a different lineup too. But it was always me and Stefan and sometimes Vaughn. And it was, Enchanted was like kind of the result of, I was writing novels. And, so I just had way too many lyrics cause I was just writing all the time. So we'd end up having to do these kind of more poetry based, performances.
Interesting. I want to play some Taboo, Unknown on the Earth. Thank you.
the protest of the deer and the livestock. So get down on all fours and prepare for a conversation. creatures and plants suck oceans of blood from their roots. Boulders of roots tumble perilously down the hill. Red and bursting, red and bursting, red and bursting. We drown and whine, you and I. We drown and whine. Come with me to the table.
Is there some kind of party here?
Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Taboo doing Unknown on Earth. Then Sean Lennon with Jimmy's Thing. And finally, it's another big three song chunk there, but very fucking happening. Still Reflections from Taboo. And so, Taboo was the stable unit, right? For like,
yeah,
that, say 12, yeah. 13 years? Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And, like you're saying, well, like Taboo would go, people would leave, and so Taboo kind of morphed into other things to deal with the situation, like you writing a lot of spiel, or somebody not in town to be part of the band.
Yeah, that would happen. We were real adaptable, but we were real fixed, you know, like we practiced every Saturday for like 12 or 13 years. Yeah. And
Stefan, Chris, and I were always involved in it.
Yeah, Taboo was always Stefan.
So there was like a core, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah. Then we had
Saturday.
Like Andy Neubauer.
Right, Andy Neubauer also for a while.
And then Saturday's always the prac day.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. For over a decade.
And you always recorded these?
Not always.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What do you mean? Like,
you know, turn on the recorder.
Well, I mean,
recorded the practices?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, bits and pieces. Yeah, not all the time.
I mean, we never hardly did that, but I've heard of people that do that. They record every fucking practice.
Right.
Yeah.
We'd almost always come away with some recording as homework, but not like the entire thing.
No, exactly.
Where was the first Taboo gig?
Oh, my God.
Oh, we were trying to remember this. We couldn't. I think it was in Philly. I think the first Taboo gig was in Philly at Jake Space, which was an old place where they made Battleship parts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, by the river.
It was in up in North Philly.
Oh, yeah. One time I took the Amtrak from New York City. It's like 100 miles, right? And they drive. It's kind of beat up there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the real battered part of town. Yeah,
a little bit. You know, there was a mothball. Maybe there still is. There's a mothball. People don't realize it, but Philly was a Navy town.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, my pup. In fact, there was a sailor saying, toot, toot, Philadelphia. You can believe that shit. I mean, it's hard to convince people. So you can't remember that first gig, but...
We remembered it. We just had this discussion recently, though. Okay. We were like, there's got to be one before that, but that seems to be it, you know? And we were making tons of alcohol at the time, so we ended up having, two whole cases of weird beer that we made, like, kind of, like, herbal-infused concoction beer. And we typically would do that. We'd bring, like, whole cases of honey mead that we'd make on tour, too. But this first show, I think we're like, all right, we made enough beer for the whole tour. and it all got drank that night, you know? So, like, it all got distributed, you know? Yeah.
But this gig was, the first gig was a success.
Yeah. Sort of.
It got really good at some point, like playing live, but it's definitely tricky at first understanding how to play that, you know, because I love playing live music because you can't stop. You can't try to, you know, say, oh, that didn't sound good. You just have to keep going. And so we were able to do it. We were always able to perform. We're typically able to perform like to our best that we could at that moment.
But not really at this point yet.
Yeah, it was rough, but I mean, it was still...
It was like a reformatting with Mating Dance and especially it was almost entire... There was concepts, there was themes, you know, there was material that we were about and there was a lot of dialogue. We were living in buses and vans together. We never stopped talking. We never stopped being Mating Dance ever. And so we had a lot of things that we were expressing that were specific, but there was the backbone was improvisational. But when we switched to Taboo, we were trying to play songs and trying to be this kind of fucked up rock band. And so the earliest Taboo shows, there was like a mix of that stuff of being like, there's a plan and there's not a And so we...
You know, the Stooges were
really
like that.
The rail.
You know, the Stooges, when they were psychedelic Stooges, yeah. The gigs were one song. Yeah, and then when they got signed and became Stooges, they had to write songs. John Cale had them in the, what's it, Chelsea Hotel, right? Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, March 3, 2021 edition. Watt Peter, our special guest, Chris Bon Bon, Chris Taboo. Hold tight for our three. March 3, 2021 is the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Please. Yeah.
For Pedro Show, start off the third hour with Mate and Dance. I know people, the chronology's fucked up. Sorry. Had to fit it all in there. Okay. Because this is actually before Taboo, right? It turns into Taboo. The Woodworker. And then Crane after that with doing a Minuteman, or his take on a Minuteman song. Life is a Rehearsal. Network Glass. Evan Lipson, people, we got to give credit. He, Philly Cat, stand-up bass man, and he made the connect with Bonham. Chris here, but he also turned me on to Door in Baltimore, and this guy, whoa, talk about trippy fucking music. And I don't know how to pronounce this, OCSK, Ox, Network Glass, that's his unit. And then End to Infinity, Taboo. So there came an end to infinity with Taboo, right? Taboo ends.
Yeah. There's a couple more tours after that. Like, that was like the 2015 era, and they're playing a lot with Deep, with our our friend Asa Irons, who is also playing guitar, and you can tell the difference on that era of Taboo. There's this other guitar voicing that's like real, like kind of melodic, kind of like, you know, at that point, people would be like, what are your inspirations? And we'd be like, oh, well, like Scotland, like J.K. Hoistman's, like cinema, like the scene from Possession where, what's her name? Is it Bella Johnny? Yeah. Like, goes into a fit in the subway. Yeah. You know, like, we weren't really meant talking about, we were kind of just, like, processing all these concepts. But, yeah, Asa was bringing in a real, like, amazing kind of invoking, like, kind of all of history, you know. So,
well, I don't want to put a damper in the pamper, but why did the Proj end?
Asa moved on to other things. Stefan moved on to other things. We'd been going for so long, and then we live in a really rural area. People kind of just came and went, you know. Like, we're like, all right, I've got to move, go live, go do something else. And then the last couple tours, we were incorporating a lot of other stuff. We have, like, a whole other kind of current in our history of putting on all these, like, crazy events and up here in the sticks, and that were really participatory, kind of ceremonial. Well, some of them were big, like music festivals, but some were kind of like these bizarre, arcane games that mm-hmm. we'd play in the woods, you know, that that were really kind of like being deep in the landscape and in the kind of seasonal pattern. That was like a whole nature of Taboo as well. It was a lot to carry, but then, and it involved like everyone being on board. But then, yeah, we were kind of bringing some of those elements up more out in public towards the end. We were like involving a lot of astrological significations. Like, we'd like be dressed in all one color one night and all another color the next night, and like have totally different sets for each night. And then why did things exactly end? Also, like the last couple tours we played, we weren't getting booked with any other bands anymore. There was less bands. Everyone was playing techno, mm-hmm. But kind of playing like solo techno to people who aren't dancing, you know, like.
Is this the scene where there's this one guy at a table and he pushes a space bar and a crap top?
Exactly. Yeah. So it went from there being like, you know, there could be like 1,000 people at a show to be like lucky if there's 15 and it's just like someone with a computer. And so the tours just weren't as engaging either. And I mean, we're still doing stuff with sound and, you know, we have a plan to come back with a vengeance, but we're kind of waiting for the world to reorganize.
Lots waiting, you know? Too. Lots waiting, too. I want to play Don't Listen to Hiss.
Thank you. I can only do one thing a day. I can't do several things. Like I used to do two or three things in one day. But I can't do that anymore. I get tired. I get way too tired. So I do one thing a day. And today I came here. Now I'll go home in a little while. When I get there, I take my clothes off and get into bed. And then I look at the TV. I did the one thing. And then I get back home. I'm tired. And I relax. The bed is good for that. And so is the TV.
Thank you. I'm
For Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Don't Listen to Hiss, Taboo. Then David Greenberger with Prime Lens, Float Down Street. He's New England cat. And finally, Asbestos on Ice, Fertile Crescents. Asbestos on Ice, I forgot. Where's this in the timeline?
It's like kind of a between Mating Dance and Taboo.
It was when Chris and I were just living by ourselves. And we were playing with another guy who is just genius. And it was just fun. We would just really just do whatever we wanted.
Yeah, he does a lot of scores for, like, B-movies and horror movies, Timothy Fife. And so it was fun to get to play with him. And he brought around, like, a lot of synthesizers. And yeah, we would just get totally experimental.
And when you gave a project another name, it kind of had a... Because, right, they're all coming from the same core, but they get different names because they got kind of different, spirit or manifest?
Definitely.
Yeah, totally. Okay. And Asbestos and Ice is also just sort of Bon and I's name for our relationship.
It's not Mate and Dance. Okay.
Now, child free.
Yeah, right. You'd rather play for children than biologically. Yeah, that's why, too. Okay.
Yes.
I'm a son of a sailor, you can imagine. Now, let's get up to 2021 and, you know, the situation and stuff. Have you guys been composing? Now Taboo's been put away. And you're putting together something else, right? Do you have a name for it? Have you been getting creative on it?
Yeah, there's something in the works with a fellow, our old friend Ryan Reilly. He was in L.A. Drugs and Dream House and Rotten Apples and Ergot Rot and Bone Rattle. He was kind of in our world, but we were like parallels. Like those were the bands we would play with, but it wasn't our band. But he just came out and we've been cooking up something called Death Equation that I think that's going to be what we drop next if and when we drop.
Nothing was canceled. Everything's just postponed. So Death Equation. Okay. That's interesting. From Mating Dance to Death Equation.
Right. Yeah, we're almost there.
That's
the
complete arc.
Right. That can procreate.
But it seems like okay, Chris and Bond's got this core, and then when the third cat or more comes, that's what kind of like the rudder of the boat or something, or
definitely.
The keel or the bow of the sail. Sure. I don't know.
It's just helpful to have, like, a third member. I don't know. Like, we have jammed together, but it really benefits from a third person.
Yeah,
I can't describe it. It's just...
Yeah, something happens with triangulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've been doing it all these years. I mean, there must be it must be fucking happening. It's not like a torture thing. And then when it runs out of gas, it runs out of gas, and you guys evolve. That to me, that's instead of just beating and flogging and shit, you know, I like this idea. I think it's great. Is there somewhere people can find you on the internet?
Well, we used to be real known for not being on there at all, but
okay.
We're on there. We were kind of like not against it. We were into the obscurity. We were like, all right, well, whatever. Like, you find us. Find us up in East Bumfuck if you can.
Come to the fucking gig, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But there's some scraps on there. There's like a band camp and there's like some YouTube videos and all that kind of thing, you know?
Okay. But there ain't no Death Equation website yet.
No.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, Death Equation is probably going to be like, you'll know when it happens.
Like when they play your town.
Yeah.
By the way, with all this touring you did, you were talking mainly like Northeast. Did you ever make it to Cali?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we toured all around the country all the time.
And Taboo was in SoCal?
Yeah. Yeah, we played L.A. a few times.
Mm-hmm. What part? What pad?
We played in the handbag factory.
Oh, yeah, downtown.
Yeah.
And I played there once. That whole area. That's actually was the old Skid Row. I mean, it was very heavy. Totally. It's where all the drogas. But it's changed. People live there. They're trying to be like Manhattan. You live in the city.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Yeah.
That's really different for SoCal. And you play Necco Park. Now, there's been a club scene there for a while. Yeah. The Echo and Echoplex and stuff. God damn, and then I want to break my leg off in my ass for not seeing you.
Oh, nice.
Sorry. Somebody once told me, Watt, the only thing new is you finding out about it.
I feel that way a lot.
Yeah, I know. Look, I think it's part of being human, unless you're a fucking know-it-all, you know, and whatever the fuck. You don't have to learn anymore. Life is a giant classroom, right?
I mean, I have a feeling Death Equation's first show is going to be in L.A. That's kind of the plan. Oh. So we'll hit you up. Yeah, we'll hit you up. Yeah.
Okay. No, Pedro, come in the harbor. Or maybe the desert. There's very experimental scene out there and shit.
Totally. That might be what it is. Like, the other dude in the triangulation did a ton of big raves out in the Mojave. And,
You didn't say Mojave.
Mojave, yeah.
You know, I was crossing the Mojave, and all I had chow was jalapenos, tortillas, and fried joles.
Scorpion tips.
Yeah, people say that shit. Because we say Pedro. I came here when I was 9 from Virginia, but they say Pedro. But that's only where they fuck up in the bridge, and the beach is Cabrillo. But we don't say fucking fried joles. Look, it's been a big honor. When you get Death Equation recorded, will you come back on the show and we can talk about the music?
Oh, certainly.
Thank you.
Chris and Bond, thank you so much. Big honor to have you aboard.
Thank you. Yeah. The honor's all ours.
Okay, keep on keeping on. People, March 3, 2021, just what Peter, so keep your powder dry.